Hello, I'm Andrew Scrivani.
And I'm Chef John. Welcome to the Chef John podcast.
Welcome back to the Chef John podcast. We are here and we have a great surprise for you today. We thought that since it is the end of the year, that John and I should be in the same room, and we are. We're sitting right next to one another. So hello, John.
Hello, Andrew.
We are here in Northern California in the Chef John cave. We are here in the space capsule to record the final show of the year, which happens to be our New Year's edition. So thank you so much for being here this year. It's been fantastic. We have seen you all on Chef John Pod on Instagram and Twitter and at the Chef John Podcast online. But John, how you feel?
I feel great. It was quite a year. Not a full year for the show, but sure felt like it.
It did. I mean, I know that we've gotten some comments about wanting the show to be a little bit longer, and we've accommodated that.
We took that way too seriously, but pretty much everything we do is technically filler. So I don't feel bad that we stretched it out a little bit.
Yeah.
And as long as the folks listening to this stuff are fine with it, so am I.
One other thing that they've been asking us for, which I'm not sure we can accommodate yet, which will kind of fill in with the resolution issue, is they want us every week, John.
Yes. Every week, I think, is a good idea.
Okay.
Well, no promises. That'll tie into one of our resolutions.
Yes, very big one.
Stay tuned. That's in the business, we call that a tease.
And it involves all of you.
And by the way, one production note here that you guys are going to listen to live. Andrews keeps looking at me when he's talking to me and not talking into the mic. So if you hear him fade, it's because he's gazing lovingly in my direction.
Or if you hear John smack me, it's because I'm just way too close.
So anyway, I just wanted to point that out in real time.
Okay.
That's some exciting behind the scenes stuff.
All right. Well, anyway, John, we are going to talk, first of all, about New Year's Eve. Now, I spent the great majority of my life in New York City. John, the great majority of his life in a big city in San Francisco. And neither of us really kind of like New Year's Eve.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't so much say I like the idea of New Year's Eve and, you know, celebrating the new year, of course, and counting down and kissing your loved one. But I've never been into going out partying hard on New Year's Eve. Like in your early 20s, sure, you pretty much have to. But at a certain age, all of a sudden, it was like, I'd much rather sit home and watch TV and just listen to the everyone outside going crazy. So, and you seem to be of the same mind.
Yeah, I think, you know, like it's for drinkers, anybody who partakes on New Year's Eve. It's amateur hour. That's what my dad used to call New Year's Eve. He used to call New Year's Eve amateur hour.
And tell folks what your dad did for a living.
My dad was a policeman. So
he speaks from a wealth of experience.
Absolutely. So New Year's Eve was never that thing, but we did hold usually intimate gatherings that usually revolved around food. And the next day, New Year's Day, seemed to be the one that food traditions seemed to kick in a little bit more into high gear. So being Italian-American, one of the major traditions for good luck among a superstitious people was some type of legumes. For us, it was lentils. So my grandmother would always make lentils, and everybody had to come to the house on New Year's Day and partake in the lentils for good luck for the new year. So I think this is a tradition that sort of spans cultures a little bit, but
yes,
it's the one that we did.
Yes, definitely down south it's also huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, beans and greens for good luck. And which I have a question for you. You used to be a teacher.
Yes.
So you know pretty much everything.
No.
So when I first started researching beans and greens recipes for the channel, because that seemed to be a good thing to post and on the next day after the New Year's Eve celebrations, I found out the history, and it's because the beans apparently represented coins.
Wow.
Which and then the greens represented the paper money. I think that's a modern interpretation.
Wow. Okay.
But anyway, originally the beans, like especially the black eyed peas with the dot, that apparently reminded people back in the olden times of currency.
Hmm.
Then I remembered the saying or the expression bean counter.
Right.
So at one time, were actual beans real currency? And if so, wasn't that dude down the end of the block just growing beans in the backyard and like the rich, you know, the rich guy.
Right. He was money grows on trees.
So
right?
When I first heard that, like the reasoning behind the beans at New Year's for good luck and wealth and prosperity in the new year, that part made sense. But what didn't make sense is if beans were a currency, I want to be a counterfeiter.
Yes.
Because I'm not a great gardener, but I can grow beans. They grow like weeds.
I mean, it makes sense that all of that kind of holds together until we get to the counterfeit method.
So I'm getting the impression you do not actually know if beans were ever used as a real currency.
Well, you can assume that any commodity was used as currency at some point in time.
Like pretty rocks.
Well, pretty rocks, beads, you know, sugar, spices, salt. All of these things that we take for granted were used as currency at some point. So why not beans?
Yeah. So I have to admit, I was slightly annoyed when I first heard about the tradition. I was like, beans do not remind me at all of money, like or coins. But then they said, well, the old time ancient currency was like a punched out whatever with a dot. Maybe it looked like a black IP. Anyway, that's as close as I ever got to a real explanation. So in case you've always wondered how it possibly came about,
yes,
with no verification.
We are here for you.
Or fact finding, that's possibly the real story.
I'm sure that Google probably has this answer.
No. Do not Google it. Just go with our story. It's pretty good.
Yes.
As far as New Year's food traditions, beans and greens for sure. Wasn't a family tradition, or at least if it was, I didn't know about it. But I've kind of made it a tradition in Michelle and our lives for the last year, number of years I can remember, at least since I've been doing the channel and maybe before, we've done some type of good luck beans and greens. And apparently it worked pretty good.
Oh yeah. I mean,
I can't complain.
No, I mean, here we are in the Northern California recording studio.
Speaking of which, I have to share one New Year's Day tradition that I just remembered, and I'm going to give a shout out, which we almost never do.
No.
Because we don't know anybody.
No.
Our friends, Sean and Paul, every year, which I thought was just brilliant, on New Year's Day would have a BLT and sparkling wine party.
Wow.
And everyone would just roll in, hungover, tired. And what's better when you're hungover? You just want a nice, fatty, greasy, beautiful, thick, fat BLT and a glass of bubbly, because champagne cures
everything.
It's the beer of champagne. Wait, no, the champagne... I didn't think that went through.
No, absolutely not.
But anyway, they would have this really fun party. They would cure their own bacon, bake their own bread, and just was one of, we look forward to it every year. And then we moved and they moved to Sacramento. So I think that might be a thing of the past. But anyway, on the extremely rare chance Sean and Paul are listening, Sean and Paul, we miss your BLT New Year's Day party.
And based on that party description, I'm assuming that Sean and Paul did not go out on New Year's Eve either.
Oh, no. There's where you would be wrong.
Well, how did they do all this baking and
they did it the days before or the day before.
Okay.
They would party their you-know-what's off with all their friends, and they would pull off this party. Now, your entrance fee was a bottle or two of bubbly of some sort.
Okay.
And of course, we were all tragic foodies. So it was like... everyone's looking at the Lalo Jew. Oh, that's from Provence. Yeah, I guess that's pretty good from there too.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things.
So if you brought some Prosecco, they were looking down their nose at you.
If you brought some Prosecco, they would assume you were being ironic.
Whoa, that's intense foodieism.
So, oh yeah, it would be like, ha, good one.
Ah, that's a good one. Yeah, nice.
All right, put that.
Wash the car with that.
Mike, I need to take some tarnish off this this platter. Thank you. But Prosecco is not a sponsor, are they?
No.
Okay.
No,
continue.
No, that's good. So, New Year's traditions like those are based in things like superstitions, right? So, I mean, the idea that we're going to hope for good luck and hope for prosperity. And
you know what it is? Things,
It's
the classic, a classic case of visualization.
Okay. So you're manifesting.
Of course. You're visualizing riches and fame and fortune in the new year. That don't hurt. Dusty Baker, you're familiar with?
Yes, the baseball star and manager.
The great player and the pretty good, okay coach, depending on who you talk to. he had a saying, it was my favorite Dusty Bakerism, think lucky.
Okay.
And I think that's a big part of the eating Well, we got to make lentils for New Year's Day, so we all have a great year. It's just a what do I want to call it? An activator, a
catalyst.
A catalyst. Perfect.
Yes, thank a catalyst, you. Like yeast.
Yes.
So it is a food show.
Yes.
After all.
So I think that's what it is. I think it actually works. I think it definitely works. But it has nothing to do with the beans.
Mm.
Sorry, beans. It's just the visualization, the expectation, the anticipation of good fortune, good luck, and
just
general luckiness.
I mean, do we have any crystals around here too?
No, this is some
Northern California Michelle hippie
always
stuff.
Man. Hides the crystal when you're here. You know that. because of, you know, that incident. But anyway, no crystals. No, remember the pyramids? People used to have the pyramid hats.
Mm-hmm.
Those didn't look weird at all.
Not at all.
It's like, I'd much rather have bad luck.
Well, I was at a party recently where a guy had a Devo hat on. Remember Devo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was wacky. And he had a flask full of tequila. So he became a friend.
They were the Coneheads of bands.
Are the other New Year's tradition that is, you know, fairly common and something that we all on some level have a tendency to partake in is the idea of resolutions and things that we want to do better in the new year. A lot of them have to do with what we do, John. We deal with food.
Yeah. No, it seems to be probably the most popular type of resolution, either what you're going to eat, what you're not going to eat.
How much you're going to eat.
How much you're going to eat. is a popular one that, by the way, spoiler alert to anyone that's going to do one of those, they don't work. So I would say maybe do one of my resolutions. See, I do resolutions, which is weird because I'm not a goal setter.
No,
never been. Nope. Never.
You don't got a 5-year plan.
No 5-year plan. Are you kidding me? I got a 4 to 5 minute plan. And if that works out, I just do another one until I go to sleep.
Considering our segments are a little longer than that, I'm a little worried.
So you'll be fine. but no, I don't, I'm not a goal setter. So resolutions don't come naturally to me, but I do them for the new year so I can accomplish something because I make them super easy. You know how some people are like, I want to learn German.
Yeah.
I'm more like, I'm going to learn a German recipe.
Okay.
One I've never made before. See, those are easy to
do. That's not bad.
There's one, I haven't done it. And this seriously is a New Year's resolution for this year. It's almost like an open face, open-ended German ravioli.
So like a manicotti, but German.
Yeah. It's served in a broth and apparently I got to do more research. There's a great story. It has a nickname having to do with monks or priests hiding their meat from God's eyes because they're not supposed to be partaking at this time of the year.
Okay.
So it's just supposed to be like a lean kind of pasta, you know, it's not supposed to have nice rich fatty meat in there.
So
they figure by wrapping it up in the pasta, God, because he's just God,
you know,
it's not like he can see through pasta.
No,
you make the world someday. You can't see through pasta. That's ridiculous. So it has a really kind of fun name translation of like, I got to research it. Remind me to research these things before I bring them up in the podcast.
Yeah, that would be good. But that would require you to have more than a 4 to 5 minute plan.
Yes. Thank you. Wow, this is all coming full circle. So I do set resolutions, but they're about things I want to make generally, or something that's been requested many times I haven't done yet. Like I'll make it a point, like put it on my calendar, production schedule. Let's get this, whatever it is. I finally did homemade phyllo dough.
Okay.
For a baklava. That's so that was one
good
that I just used that as an excuse. Like I need to get that done. We're going to get it done. The resolutions on, you know, like these just grandiose, you know, lose 50 pounds or eat
I think that's
half the amount of meat. It's just, they're great goals, but then you feel bad when you don't do it.
Well, you become a prisoner of the moment during the holidays, right?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
you're overeating and indulging from about mid-October until this time, right? And then of course you've gained a few pounds because you're not going outside as much because in a lot of places it's cold. So then you're looking in the mirror and you're getting on the scale and you're saying, oh my God, I've indulged a little bit too much.
I got an idea for a resolution.
I got a great idea for a resolution.
No, yeah, totally makes sense. But not my thing. And what about you? Is that your type of thing? Or you go for the easy ones too?
I go for the non-ones.
The don't do anything.
I don't make resolutions because keeping promises to, and when you are being, you know, intentionally sort of introspective about whatever it is that's going on in your life. I'm more of a plan maker, like you.
No, yeah,
you know, 4 to 5 minutes ahead. No, I actually prefer to do some more visualization in terms of not just in the moment and say, okay, this year I want to do this. I kind of set overarching goals. I sort of cross date lines, you know, so like if you fly from one side of the world to the other, your resolution has now gone full circle. Now, what I mean by that is I saw longer term goals. I'm a much more long-term goal guy.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my right. Those are
so not by like by February 7th, I want to do this or that.
No, okay. It's more like in 3 years, I want to have this thing done.
Okay. Worst New Year's resolution ever. You can't do 3 year resolutions. All right, we're going to move on. I'm glad you don't break resolutions because I think they just lead to disappointment.
No, we've got to make resolutions. Okay. I'm sorry. You're right. This is a show about New Year's and resolutions are a part of that. Yeah. Me personally, maybe I don't fit into that, but the show fits into that.
All right. I was going to say, save this for your life coaching podcast.
Yeah. Well, that's next week, that's my next resolution. The show has to have some resolutions, right? Because we're a new show and we want to accomplish things in this new year. So, John, what do you think our show resolution should be?
Well, first and foremost, our resolution is to get some very, very well-respected, high-profile, very financially secure sponsors to underwrite this silliness.
Yeah, I mean,
because apparently some podcasts actually make money, which I didn't even know.
I mean, I was keeping that from
you. I thought, and you know, you don't give me a lot of info on the back behind the scenes of this business, but I thought we were actually paying to be on the air to give this to people. So when I found out some of the other podcasters actually have companies that they like, that they use, that they would enjoy promoting, they actually pay the money to talk about their products on the air.
Wow. I've been trying to keep that from you, John, because I wanted to keep you engaged and I didn't want you to focus on things like business end.
Did you
things.
Know some beer breweries, beer companies actually will sponsor a podcast?
Wow.
I would like to find out who they are.
Okay. There's lots of beer and wine up here in Northern California.
There is lots of beer and wine. So I'm thinking that would be a great fit. So that's one of our show's main resolutions this year. Maybe get some sponsors, maybe expand things. Maybe we can get into, what should we call it? A real studio.
Oh, that would be nice.
Would be nice.
Yeah.
Like with high production values, I could be, get out of this cardboard refrigerator box I record in.
Well, I mean, it is charming.
That I stole from under the bridge. Oh. And that's one of our main goals. So if you know of a sponsor, if you have friends that are high profile, very well-financed companies
who love our show,
send them our way.
Yeah.
And we will promote their product, whether we like it or not.
That's absolutely.
I don't know if we're supposed to say that.
No, that's,
but I have no problem doing that.
It is reality.
Yeah.
Excellent. Very good. I mean, as far as resolutions for our show, that's a great one. I have another one. It's about the audience. I really need you out there to engage with us even more because you all generate so much great content for us by leaving voicemails or what you're engaging in on Twitter or Instagram, leaving messages on the community channel on Food Wishes. It's been so much fun to read and react to the things that you have been doing, and it just leaves us wanting more. So our New Year's resolution for you, our audience, is to continue to engage with us even more. So that's, I think, another worthwhile resolution.
That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. Resolutions, you know, go both ways. And I think that, you know, once we start tippy-toeing around things like resolutions, we start to realize that there may be one that drives Chef John crazy.
Well, I think I sort of already covered it. It was the completely unrealistic resolution.
That's it?
That's the one that I think makes
All right, give me a solid example. Like, give me something really solid.
I love carbs.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, do I love them.
Potatoes.
This
is well established on the Chef John podcast.
Yeah, and I've been eating potatoes every day. We had potatoes for breakfast. So if you love potatoes and starches and carbohydrates, going like cold turkey on the keto plan is your resolution.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that's the best idea. Those kind of things, I think, upset me in advance because I just would like maybe you start mixing in some stuff. Like you're eating more vegetables, less meat.
Yes, you shared. I have been. Yes,
I've been trying. That is a great resolution. The ones that are just, it's like all or nothing. It's like, okay, we're gonna do this. It's do or die. No potatoes in 22. You know, that's you know that those make me a little crazy. And I don't know. In fact, I saw a funny picture on Twitter today. Someone shared. It was a picture of salmon.
Okay.
And they said, and I think there were cat was next to it. Maybe it was a screenshot from a video. Anyway, somebody posted it and it was like, salmon, it's cheat day. And I'm thinking, salmon is cheat day. What the heck?
Oh yeah. What does the rest of your diet look like?
Is this person eating the rest of the year? So anyway, it's not so much, it makes me crazy. I feel bad if I hear a resolution like that. In fact, sometimes I'll post something that's particularly abundant in a certain, fat, alcohol, starch, whatever.
Right.
And someone will leave a comment like, oh man, perfect timing before I give that up. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to eat that this year. It's like, see, that makes me a little nuts. Like eat everything in moderation. Does this sound like ancient advice that we got from like grandparents? They were like, don't worry about these newfangled food trends. Just eat.
I think
when you're hungry, what you like.
This is it,
in good portions or human sized portions. See, I think that's most of our issue is just the over indulgence of any one thing.
This is written on in the hieroglyphs in yes, Egypt.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, so so that when I see someone sharing a completely unrealistic resolution, as well intended as it is, it makes me a little.
Mine is connected. My pet peeve about this is connected to that as well. In that the post holiday detox, that's the one that I'm just like thinks is completely and wholly unrealistic, because they have brunch every Sunday, regardless of the time of year. And if that bottomless mimosa is kind of an option, I don't know that you can kind of really do that detox.
Man, I'm having flashbacks to one of my most favorite, just got to San Francisco, food moments. A girlfriend of mine that I work with, we went to a brunch, and I did not know, because this is not a thing in Shortsville, New York, I did not know there was such a thing as a brunch where they would serve you champagne, and they would keep filling your glass until you left.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not have been more excited by this news. I was like, hold on a second, let me get this straight.
All right.
We can just eat our eggs Benedict and our scones and our whatever. And every time that champagne glass, the dude's coming by with the bottle and we're getting more. And like, that's it. And yeah, they
so did they carry you out on a stretcher?
Not quick carry. I would say help, assist. Gravity is tough sometimes.
Yeah, and how is the porcelain altered?
No.
You did not.
I'm proud of my track record in that area. But anyway, yeah, that's one of my, when you said mimosa, that's never going to be a New Year's resolution. No more all you can drink brunches.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen for most people. But
I don't think that's so much a thing anymore.
What?
Like all you can drink anything or all you can eat anything's. Those are
sometimes.
I gotta go visit you.
Yeah, in New York, it's still a thing. I mean, you can tell which places have the bottomless brunch because the line is outside and is waiting. And then, of course, people never get up from the table because two things: gravity after three bottles of champagne.
Sure.
You know, and the fact that they're having a good time. So yeah, the bottomless brunch is still a thing in some places.
Yeah, and in San Francisco, bottomless brunch is an entirely different thing.
Oh, now we're talking.
All right, that's it for this segment. That's it.
All right, John, I'm a little disappointed. I mean, most of the time when we talk about the things that drive Chef John crazy, you know, you get animated. I mean, I could see the bulge in your neck and the vein in your head. And this didn't really do it for you this time.
No, so it does barely count as drives me crazy.
Yeah, I need to push another button on Chef John here. And I have a feeling that there's something else in there that's really kind of eating at you when it comes to things that drive you crazy about New Year's. So I know you're holding back on me. So let it out. Okay. Just let it out, John.
Okay, be careful because we are really sitting really close to each other.
Yeah, just don't swing your arms.
No, the resolution thing, it's more of a, for the segment, what makes Chef John scratch his head?
Okay, so we'll, all right.
Yeah, so when we do that segment, that we'll save that one.
All right.
What drives me crazy regarding New Year's is by far the food writer predictions for the coming year. The hottest trends, the hottest ingredients,
right?
The this and that, because they're the same damn list every single year. How can comfort food be a hot trend for the new year when it's been a trend since, when did they start writing things on? Since Gutenberg.
since
Gutenberg was a prep cook. So, I mean, seriously, look at, pull up any random food prediction trend, New Year's, like here's what's coming in 96, 84, 2001, 2013. They're the same list.
Well, because we're into sustainability, John, this is recycling.
They'll throw a couple new ones on there to throw you off the scent. But it's like, you know, healthier eating, cooking more at home, comfort foods.
What else?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if I saw kale as a trend, like on someone's list this year.
I mean,
them actually thinking like, here's some breaking news.
I mean, that's kind of
kale's gonna be huge in 22
again. Again.
So anyway, that one and here's what really drives me. They take them so seriously.
Right.
And I think they're really for the other food writers. They look at each other's lists and then they go, hey, nice list. Hey, did you see Joe's list? Joe's, I liked it better than Mary's list. Mary's was fine.
Maybe.
Wasn't Jose's list. That was like,
I mean,
that was crazy. He has comfort foods on there, which I think really is going to, it's a risky prediction.
And farm to table.
Farm to table, risky prediction. We will see how it turns out.
Yes.
And, you know, putting gravy on mashed potatoes. I did not see that one coming.
Ketchup on hot dogs.
So, yes, I think if I'm a food writer, I have to do one.
Mm-hmm.
You have to write the what's coming up, the trends for the new year, what's hot, what's not. But they're almost never correct. And the only predictions that are correct are the ones that they know are going to be true anyway, like comfort food and things like that.
So let's go out on a limb, John.
Yes.
Let's go out on a limb and make one food prediction
that we know won't come true.
We got to play the game too. We're in the food game.
All right. All right. Here we go.
Give me one.
Food Wishes becomes 100% vegan. Recipe Channel.
That is not going to happen. But, you know, nobody would have predicted that 11 Madison Park was going to go vegan.
That's what I'm saying.
So I'm going to predict that 11 Madison Park is going to not be vegan again at some point.
And now I can't call it 11 Madison Pork anymore. That's why I'm so upset about it. That was the great nickname and now I can't use it.
Well, they used to cook the vegetables in a pig bladder. So now you can't do that anymore.
Now what are they going to use?
I don't know. Does a beet have a bladder?
I don't know. Maybe sunflower bladder. Oh. I don't know. This is a tough one. A carrot's cheaper than a tenderloin of veal, but yeah, we need customers. Let's go back to the meat.
You could have never predicted that they would have done that in 21, but the prediction of them going back might be equally risky. So
well, that's true.
I'm taking a chance here. I'm taking a chance.
So no, but do you ever take any of these top trends for the new year list seriously?
No, of course not.
Have you ever learned anything from them or going like, oh my God, they were right?
Not really, no.
Because I think it's just an attempt at a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, sure.
If you got write a lot of followers about it, and you're like, and you got stock in Instapot and you're like, hey, you know, it's going to be a great trend. Yeah. Wink, wink. That Instapot's going to blow up. Not literally. Don't send us letters.
Yeah, we don't want to hear that about Instapot.
But no, I think that's really the whole scam behind it all. And I use the term scam very loosely.
Yes.
I don't think it's premeditated, unless it is. But they just are like, if I predict this, maybe my prediction will make it come true. And then at the end of the year, I can go, when they do, of course, the end of the year recap.
Yes. Well, it's just as predictable as, you know, tomatoes at the end of the summer and ramps in the spring.
Yeah.
And like every food writer has their calendar set by what's going to be seasonal.
Of course.
And this, at the end of the year, you're kind of like out of seasonal ingredients. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's cold and we've talked about comfort foods and everything. Let's just get back to recycling some really good content.
Repurposing.
Recycling.
Regurgitating.
That's disgusting. As is our tradition at the end of every show, what did we learn today, Chef John?
Well, I think we learned that neither of us like to party or will go out on New Year's Eve anymore.
Mm.
So sorry if you were about to invite us to a fabulous party. We can't make it.
No.
We're fine on the second or third, but yeah. New Year's Eve, we just,
yeah,
we're going to,
yeah,
we got to take the night off.
Yeah, we're off.
So that's the first thing we learned. The second thing we learned is we don't like unrealistic goals and resolutions for the new year. You were less adamant than I was, but I just think I've learned they don't work through anecdotal evidence. So
set the bar low.
So I don't want to tell people that's what they learned. I just will say, maybe you will learn that the hard way.
Okay.
And lastly, if you are a fan of reading the most current, most fabulous food writers, but you did want to maybe skip one of their articles or blog posts, make it the one where they predict things for the coming year. Or just go back and read last year's.
Read last year's and save yourself the trouble.
Just for fun, see how close it is.
Okay.
So anyway, I think that's the main points we learned.
Well, we did. And, you know, it's really, really nice that you recap for us in a very concise way. So it kind of made me think like, well, this is the end of the year. So maybe we should talk about what we learned this year, Chef John.
If we learned anything.
Well, I mean, I would hope after all episodes we have learned.
Yeah. Well, I was going to go just what I learned in personal life, Michelle and I, this year. We learned anyone can do a podcast. Literally, they let anyone do a podcast. No qualifications needed. I learned you cannot grow melons in an old half wine barrel planter.
Wow.
Did not work.
Wow.
We got one melon.
That is.
And that melon sucked. And I drew out the S sound for emphasis.
Wow.
It really sucked. I mean,
that's an intense bit of learning right there.
Now, of all the obscure things that I learned some important things here about remodeling houses and,
right.
and deer fencing. So no, it's weird. That's what popped in my brain. The one thing I learned is don't plant melons in wine. Because I was so excited for a nice, juicy, homegrown melon. Sweet.
Like, I feel like we need a t-shirt now. It's like, it feels like a wine barrel with some earth in it and a watermelon growing out of it is got to be our like logo for next year.
And then you're behind it winking, saying nice melons.
Nice melons. Yeah,
no, we can't.
We can't go there.
What else did we learn? I learned that water always finds the lowest point. We have some drainage issues.
I think that's physics,
just,
right?
Does everyone know that?
I'm probably sure that's physics. All right.
Okay. I probably should have already known that. Never mind. Strike that from the records. And so anyway, I'm going to pass over to you. What were your big epiphanies this year? What did you learn?
My big takeaways in terms of the things we've learned here at the Chef John podcast was that being in the same room with you is much easier.
Talking this way?
Yeah, because I know when you're actually going to talk and when you're not going to talk.
The live in-person podcast definitely is better.
Of course, we learned this on the last day. But
so exactly. So, well, that's good. No, that's a good one.
And
that was better than my melon one.
No, the melon's iconic. I mean, okay. That's going to be a forever attached.
Yeah, next year, you know where we're going to plant it?
No,
in the ground.
Well, that would be helpful.
We're supposed to put plants.
That would be good.
It looks so cool. The little baby melon start and that cute wine barrel.
Yeah, you can visualize it.
Because when you're gardening, of course, it's always form over function.
Why didn't you manifest it though?
I should have. There should have been a resolution.
I mean, if you had resoluted,
it's too late.
Resoluted,
now. I'll wait next year.
Resolute is not a word, right?
Resolute is definitely a word. Just okay. You're not using it right.
Oh, that's fine. Okay.
Well, off the bat.
I mean, so we learned some very valuable lessons this year, including. Things about melons and the fact that we talk over each other, but that's what makes.
Makes the show great. I think,
I guess.
Can I pop in one more resolution? We'd like to get Mrs. Food Wishes and Mrs. Chef John. Maybe on the show a little more chiming in Sujong maybe.
We'd like to expand the podcast family in 22.
More speaking from the wings.
Speaking from the wings.
Because I think there's a certain effect when the person's not at the same volume and they're like, it was chicken, not turkey.
That is the aside has classic comic appeal.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that's officially one of our show revolutions.
Revolutions.
It could be a revolution.
Yeah, I mean,
one of our show resolutions, our better halves will hopefully be heard more on the show. Anyway, I hope we all have a fantastic which apparently is how I say fantastic. Fantastic.
You do.
I do. I have no idea.
Absolutely.
Hoping you all have a fantastic 22. Is that the correct year?
It is.
I don't write checks anymore. So it's, I don't, it's all debit card.
Yes.
So I don't know what year it is.
It is.
Have a fantastic 2022. I hope all your resolutions come true, except unless they were like stupid, then I hope they don't.
And just completely unrealistic.
Yeah. Then forget about it.
Yep.
And we hope you keep enjoying the Chef John podcast with my good friend, Andrew Scrivani, who may or may not be next to me recording again for the show, but we hope so.
Yeah, I would hope to be here more often.
And I think that's it.
All right.
Say good night, Andrew.
Good night, Andrew.